I know we've been doing a series on kingdom authority, and I had a sermon prepared on that, but I didn't know how long we were going to be in our song service today, so I prepared another message as well. Plus, I won't have a lot of time to prepare messages this week coming up anyway. So we'll come back to that series next Sunday morning. And there's only about maybe four. Well, some of those will probably end up being two, but four to eight lessons left is pretty much it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. I'll say a couple things before we read a simple text here. One verse to start with. They have CDs available. I think everybody ought to have good godly music. Who runs the CD table? All right. Now we know why you're here. Oh, by the way, you two stand up. You two guys can introduce yourselves. Go ahead. Amen. And he's going to, you're in the ministry, and you're going to be a youth pastor. If you call us, and you know, if we don't have, we're looking for a youth pastor. We've been looking for a youth pastor. So when you graduate in 2 years, if we don't have one, then, you know, give us a call to see if we have one. And hopefully we will by then. But, you know, if you want to come to New York, not everybody wants to come to New York. We found that out. But anyway, so they have the CDs. They also have sheet music. And Faith, you might want to look at some of that. Some of you others that sing, you might want to look at some of their sheet music. And I'll mention that to Brother Mike as well. There's a family I was telling Jessica about. The church is in Middleburg. And every time I hear them sing, they always sing music that I've heard the PCC group sing every single time. And it's good music, good godly music. So that'll be available after. The adult Sunday school class, because the ladies, I guess, have ended their class now. We will meet in here. It's a little crowded back in the room we were meeting, although I like that room back there. I just love that room. But it's a little crowded in there, so the adult class will be in the auditorium. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I am only going to read one verse, and I realize that we're studying through 2 Corinthians, and we got through chapter 7, and I'm skipping a little bit because I'm going to preach the first part of this chapter 8 and couple Sunday morning messages. So this morning I want to draw your attention to verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Father, we ask you would bless, please, the reading and teaching of your word, that we might make the sense of it. We would pray for your strength and your energy and your help. And Lord, may the Spirit of God work and teach us all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to start with a story. There's a story told of a Persian monarch who reigned, and he had a lot of riches, and he had a lot of wealth and splendor, and he was living amid the wealth and comfort of the royal palace. But his concern was for the common people. And frequently, it drove him to dress like a pauper, like a poor man, leave the palace, and mingle with the lowliest of his subjects. One day, he visited a fireman. The fireman's job was to heat the water in the bathhouse. If you know anything about history, that's how they would do that. Dressed in tattered clothes, the Shah descended a long flight of steps down the tiny cellar where the fireman sat on a pile of ashes, tending the fire. The ruler sat beside him, and the two men began to talk. At lunchtime, the fireman shared his humble meal of bread and water with his guest. Eventually, the Shah left, but he returned again and again, and his heart filled with sympathy for the lonely man. The fireman opened his heart to this kind, compassionate friend who gave him wise counsel. Finally, the Shah could not bear to keep up the pretense any longer, and he decided to reveal his true identity to his friend. He then asked the poor fireman to name a gift that he could give him. To his surprise, the man said nothing, but merely sat looking at him with love and wonder. Thinking he had not understood him, the Shah offered to make the fireman rich, elevate him to nobility, or make him ruler over a city. But then he replied, "Yes, my lord, I understood you. But leaving your palace to sit here with me and partake of my humble food and listen to the troubles of my heart even you could give me no more precious gift than that. You may have given rich gifts to others, but to me, you gave yourself. Now, if you can't connect the dots, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. It's exactly what he did. And then the fireman said, I only ask that you never withdraw your friendship from me. Now, that story illustrates the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven's King, who left his glorious throne to become the friend of sinners. The hymn writer wrote, and I asked Mike to sing that song this morning, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. Beautiful song, wonderful truth, full of doctrine. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown, but when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Heaven's riches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming the royal decree, but of lowly birth didst thou come to earth and greater humility. Tucked into this section that we are reading and studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 tells us this, Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He begins to talk about an offering. The whole context of chapter 8 and chapter 9 is about an offering that they were going to take up. But in the middle of this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, there is a profound doctrinal treasure. Sometimes we call it like a gold nugget or like a nugget of truth that's tucked in a chapter that seemingly doesn't fit, but it fits perfectly. Now, there's no big words in this verse. If I counted right, I counted 30 words. You may grasp it for the first time that you read it, but I think you might never understand the rich truths that it contains, maybe comprehend them all for years to come, and quite honestly, maybe never. It describes Christ's descent from riches to poverty, and to poverty so that believers might ascend from poverty to riches. Look at the verse one more time. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and he was, yet for your sakes he became poor, and he did, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Why in the world is that verse tucked in the middle of two chapters to talk about taking an offering up for the saints while here? Paul's discussing Christian giving and the collection for those saints at Jerusalem specifically. And so to stimulate the Corinthians giving, he pointed an example of the Macedonians who gave generously and sacrificially despite their deep poverty. But as the apostle thought about the reality that love manifests itself in sacrificial giving, his mind was irresistibly drawn to the greatest gift the world has ever known, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's in this text. He's talking about giving, and God gave us the greatest gift that he could ever give us. He gave us his son. And so while many people in the world are selfish and they have no desire to give even when they have a lot to give, Jesus became poor, but he was already rich to make unworthy people, sinners, spiritually rich. The word for, at the beginning of the verse, links this verse to verse 8, where he said, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And it connects those particular verses. The apostle did not need to tell the Corinthians to give. Quite honestly, Christians ought not to have to be begged to give, because they knew the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I put those phrases there. You ought to give because you understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he gave. That's what Paul's saying here. Now, they may have been unaware of the Macedonians giving, but they knew that Christ came down from heaven, and they know that he gave his life for a sacrifice for sinners. They knew his awesomeness of this gift, the rich that was rich beyond measure. They knew those things, and it's the greatest example of giving that there is. Now, there's two things I'll mention. I'm still in my introduction, but I'll mention this. This is why you hear preachers say, you can never outgive God. How can you outgive the gift of salvation? How can you outgive God giving his only begotten son to go to a cross? And so we've probably all heard multiple preachers, if you've listened to many, say you'll never outgive God. The second thing is this. Christians should not need or have to be told over and over and over to give. Just look at Jesus. Look what he did. We have budget committee meetings. Sometimes the budget committee tells me, you don't preach enough on giving.